On this week's show, discussing the data mystery in construction with a crew of guests.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right. This is normally where I say hello to everybody and I talk to my guests and I talk to my co-hosts. But if you're looking in on YouTube, you're going to notice that there is a couple of different faces on there and we're going to try something new. That's right. We're mixing it up. And just like we're mixing this special episode up, I'm going to be mixing up the newsletter. Some of you, well, most of you don't care that you don't read it anymore. And I understand that. So I'm actually going to be sprucing it up. I'm going to send it at a different time, a different place. So keep your eyes open. If you aren't subscribed, then get over to thecontechcrew.com and sign up. Check us out on YouTube as well. Before we get into this special episode, let's pause for the cause.
It's important everyone supports a culture of well-being in the field and is equipped with the tools to help prevent suicide in construction. Procore Safety Qualified courses were built in partnership with our customers, elevating enhancements to their standard OSHA training. And the Bringing the Right Mindset series equips individuals and leaders alike with the skills necessary to really build resilient teams. We've made these three courses available for free and on demand, and they're offered both in English as well as Spanish, and they are CEU certifiable. Procore.com/certified-qualified is where we host our Procore's learning portal, and anyone can use their Procore credentials or create a free account to get started.
All right. So you guys are going to have to ride along with me here as I introduce each one of our guests, but you guys will understand quickly that this is the brainchild of the first, Doug here. So Doug Heady from BuilderBinder. Doug, how you doing, man? What is going on?
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you for having us on the show. You say I'm the mastermind of this, but I have to bring it to Ryan and Kat because they have some pretty big brains as well. So I'm in good company here.
Yeah. So tell everybody a little bit about, you know, kind of like what does BuilderBinder do like at the high level? Give me that. You're in the elevator. Throw me that pitch real quick.
We are connecting product manufacturers and construction tech to the contractors and companies that they want to sell to. So it's a sales enablement platform. It's all there. Companies, the profiles, the people data, all together on an easy to use platform.
Yeah, there you go. Just launched recently. So something cool for people to check out. And what happened was Doug got stood up. And he said, hey, can I bring some other people with me? And I went, that's a pretty interesting idea. Why would you want to do that? And he said, well, because I got these other data mind people that are doing crazy things with the data. And I think we should talk about it. So I went, well, why not? Let's try it. You know, let's see what happens. And if you guys hate it, well, then you can't do anything about it. Ha ha. Gotta listen. So Ryan Buckley, Ryan's next. So Ryan's with Shovels. Ryan, say hello to everybody and give a little idea of what Shovels is.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And Shovels is making building permit and building contractor data more accessible. We're a B2B company. We're serving other startups in the prop tech and construction tech space. Anyone who might want to use building permit data for go-to-market lists or building contractor data to build out installer networks or just understand the markets and see building activity and being able to slice it and dice it for internal or external use. So I think of ourselves as like the missing API for nationwide building permits and building contractors.
Yeah, not that there's not a few of those, huh? There's quite a few of those out there. So this will be interesting. And I think you guys are starting to see how this is forming. And I think it'll be new. This is kind of one of those things where you got to learn what's going on in the background to understand, like, we're all consumers. We're all, in a lot of cases, businesses. We're a little bit of both. So this is going to be fun. And last, but certainly not least, is Kat Gordienko from Bilty. So Kat, introduce yourself and how do you round out this group of, well, deep data minds here?
Sure thing, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I'm a founder of Bilty, and we offer a unified intelligence of building permit data. We combine publicly available records from thousands of local jurisdictions to inform all kinds of industries and real estate related markets. When I say thousands of local jurisdictions, I mean 17,000 jurisdictions across the country. That's how many of them manage permit records today. And they're very difficult to understand, and there's a high level of variability between one to another. What one jurisdiction might describe as utilities, another will mean electrical, and a third one will have a sub-trades description. Our job is to combine them and get them all on the same hierarchy, on the same categorization level, so to speak, to then derive all kinds of analytics and analyses on top to understand what is going on in the market. Our strength is in extracting the data and also in analyzing lots of text using natural language processing.
So really taking that, most people who are listening will kind of understand this, you know, it's been really hard for things that are great for a machine, but they don't correlate, right? Like you said, the different ways to refer to things. I just did this with Charlie Dunn, a guy from DPR Construction. You might not know him, but we were using Menti and used to be able to take words from Menti or statements from Menti and then kind of look at them. Well, they made it so we can push it through ChatGPT now, and it comes back and it groups them. And it groups them in a very logical way. So you can start to explain that, like, through NLPs, we can group things much faster, much more programmatically in a way that we couldn't do that before, which in permit data with that many things. And I mean, you named one nuance. I'm sure there's a lot of nuances that start to drive those things together. So I have to ask this first and foremost: why in the world, Kat, would you want to go down that rabbit hole? And you know, what drove you to this insanity? No, what drove you to that?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I would add to your comment about NLP that it's a lot of fun to do it with English. When I look at building permit language, it's borderline English. There are some abbreviations that actually don't exist, and you kind of have to reverse engineer the minds of planners that are sitting in the permit offices. What were they thinking, and why were they trying to save on space? Like, sometimes there's a limited number of characters that they can put in a description, so they have to get creative. But the way I got into this was actually through my own experience of building an accessory dwelling unit, an ADU. They are huge in California. I'm in San Francisco Bay Area. And as I was building, I was the one who pulled out the permits. It was owner-builder project. It was very interesting to see from the very beginning what's required for a project like this and how the process with the local jurisdiction goes. And after completing it, I was curious to see who else was building ADUs in my neighborhood and also in the Bay Area. And I started scraping the permit websites and started noticing some patterns. What I called an ADU, a different jurisdiction will call like a backyard cottage. Some other jurisdiction will call it a casita. If you go to Hawaii, the same thing is called ohana unit. And essentially, there's over 200 descriptions that an ADU can have. And that was very interesting to me. My background is in data. Before working in the startup world, I was at Netflix on the data science team. So it was a natural transition for me that kind of pulled me into the world of building permits and startups.
I was going to say there had to be something else there, because normal people who build an ADU and have to pull that then don't think about scraping that data and doing something with it. So I told you there was something behind that there. And I love that, because so many good products start with a problem. And the problem was the problem you experienced while building your own ADU. And then you kept pulling at the yarn, and it's starting to blow up. So I'm interested, kind of, Ryan, I'm going to throw it to you. What was the idea behind Shovels, and why do this? I mean, other than maybe passing some of the information over to Kat to make sense of it, I don't know. What was the idea, the impetus behind doing it?
It's actually, information flows the other direction, but I'll get to that. Very similar to Kat's entry into building permit land. I did a major remodel as well. And it was the process of trying to find a good heat pump contractor that really caused my itch and the need to scratch it. And also seeing others in my neighborhood, neighbors who were very unlucky in their contractor selection, projects that just went completely off the rails, should have gone on for 6 months, should have ended in, within 6 months, went on for 24 months, like almost 2 years. Lawsuits, you know, they have young kids, like they can't move back into their house. It's just this awful situation. And similar to Kat, I was also in a different kind of data space. I was in mobile data for the last 5 years. And then prior to that, did a startup in content marketing. I've always been an entrepreneur in my professional career. So when we sold the mobile data company, I had been wanting to start something new and wanted it to be sort of climate oriented, at least at first. I thought of it as like climate adjacent. There's a broader market application, great, but I at least wanted to have some touch points into helping climate tech or working in climate tech. Building permits just kind of scratched all of those itches, really. Similar to Kat, too, I started scraping building permits just because I got curious. Also very similar to Kat, we ended up scraping the same database because we ended up living about 2 miles from each other. So this is where we were both in and around Walnut Creek, California, also known as the building permit scraping capital of the world with both of us here, in addition to the CTO of BuildZoom, who is the other like kind of major building permit provider in the market. He's just about another 4 miles down the road. But yeah, long story short, it just turned out that this building permit like data unit had everything that we were looking for, and particularly had the contractor information in it. And pulling that out, running some analytics on it, doing the roll-ups from building permits to building contractors, just proved to be this really interesting way of looking at building contractor activity. And we've been working with Kat and her team ever since.
That's awesome. See, and again, another great problem, you know, a great solution born out of a personal problem, which always keeps you attached to why you're doing what you're doing. And I like the climate adjacent. And I'm sure people who are listening right now are like, Jeff, why are you doing this? Because I want you to understand, to everybody listening, like construction's not the only ones that are clamoring and trying to figure out data. There is data in everywhere we're going. It's adjacent to us. It feeds us. It has an impact on us. And, you know, kind of removing the mystery behind it and bringing you folks here to talk about it is important. But Doug, I don't want to leave you out because, you know, obviously Doug was actually the first one that I talked to on the phone because, you know, I'll be honest, the builder binder thing made a lot of sense to me. But give a little overview of why you would want to go down that route. And then maybe let's start to weave how the three of you are thinking about this data, this environment, this world we're living in.
I'm a little bit different here because, you know, to be transparent, this was not my idea to go into, right? I got brought into this company with a consulting company. I was incubating this idea, right? And they had some pilots going with national building product manufacturers, BPMs, and they're all asking a very similar question. If I'm looking for, you know, a specific type of contractor that needs to do really good work, in the middle of nowhere in some town, but my product's going to be used there on a luxury home. How do I find that person? How do I trust that person? And how do I know, you know, the quality they have, the workers that are there, how do I get a hold of them? And so I got brought in with my background, right, at Dun & Bradstreet and Merkle Demand Base and some of these bigger players that actually have enablement platforms to provide a holistic solution, right? Where, in my opinion, right, the permit data, the license data, are pieces of this, definitely core pieces to this, but there's more information you add on top of that about how much revenue do they do, how many employees do they have, more about a holistic company profile, and then a way to get a hold of them, right? It doesn't matter if you can do those profiles and you can't find those people with contact emails and phone numbers. And so my perspective along this whole way has been, how do we do this at scale such that we provide a solution nationwide, right? And that comes from Kat's working on nationwide permit data, right? Ryan's also working on license data, right? I'm working on those together, as well as the revenue and the employees and the contact data within a SaaS platform, so that there's a one-stop shop for product manufacturers that say, hey, look, we have bigger problems than just permit data or the license data or whatever. We actually need something that my sales guys can log into, see the profiles, see the people, start making calls and emails, right? Everybody's challenge here is really hard because it all stems from dirty data, right? I've talked with Kat about this. Some of the things that are most important to us are, how do you take all of this stuff and make sense of it? Because you have to write models to do this at scale, and models still need human eyes on them to write, right? Data are just human behavior artifacts, right? Somebody does something, it's logged with an information and tracked as a piece of data. How do you make sense of all those things when they all come with different acronyms and cut off labels like Kat had mentioned, and connect the pieces to get it all together and say, hey, cool, let me just now hit a button and make use of that data, right? So the problems we're solving are kind of, you know, they're all related, but also slightly different, but we're attacking it with, you know, just kind of different perspectives is how we get across this.
Yeah. So talk about some of those hurdles that early on, that this idea of dirty data, I like it. You pulled from Kat, like they're concatenating things in there and making up their own acronyms. Cause well, that's how much room I had. That been easy? How's that been for you, Doug?
Oh no, it's been my career. It's why I have a job.
That's great.
It's why we'll all have jobs continuing into the future. You know, it's things that you can't, like even ChatGPT, you can't just use that and say, solve this problem, write a model. It's not as simple as categorize this. You have to train these things. And by training, that means you actually have to have a set of data that you said, this is accurate. So I want to train the rest of the world of an output on the accuracy of this data that we guarantee. And to guarantee that, you have to get to the sources of everything, right? In that jurisdiction, that person that wrote that acronym from those companies that came through, why do they write it that way? Why do they write it differently here? From revenue models, right? I talk a lot of times to companies about bad revenue. I want to segment the companies by revenue from 10 to 20 million, 20 to 50 million, but I can't count on it. And I can tell you why. It's because revenue models aren't based for construction, right? You can have a GC firm doing $50 million, but they have 12 employees because they sub out a lot of that work, but the revenue still passes through. So how do you write custom models for that, right? And it takes people that are focused on this type of data and know these problems to actually, you know, build that.
That actually cleared up a few things. First of all, you heard that from Doug, not from me, but ChatGPT is not here to just solve your problems. You can't just ask it and have it fix it and we're done, because far too much that has been a little bit of the belief that it's here and it's fixed and it's good. And then you hit on another one there. $50 million to one person is not $50 million to the next person. I've gone back and taught folks along the way in this industry. And when I say in this industry, this is not to my BIM and VDC and my people out there building, but actually to the side selling to them, that a $250 million contractor, general contractor, and a $50 million trade contractor might actually have the same amount of people, or the trade contractor might have more. Because again, it's a pass-through, right? That $250 million, $50 million of it is going to the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, other contractors. So it's interesting to see you talk about breaking that model out and then making it digestible in the end for somebody to do something with. So Kat, I want to go to you here as he's talking about, you know, cleaning up and digging into those models and really keeping an eye on it and digging into that. What kind of challenges, what kind of things is that bringing up for what you've experienced along the way to bringing this to fruition?
Well, I love what Doug said about different angles that this data provides. I always talk about it in terms of four P's, and this is something I made up. Building permit data can tell you a lot about people, a lot about properties, projects, and places. So when we talk about people, we talk about contractors that are doing the job. We're also talking about owners, applicants, engineers, designers, and so forth. Places, you can take permit data and you can analyze in a particular jurisdiction, let's say Los Angeles, how long does it take to pull an EV charger permit, and how long does it take to final it? Is it similar to timelines in New York or Austin? So we're talking about, you know, in a given place, jurisdiction performance in general. Of course, permit data, it tells you a lot on the history of a given property, all the changes that were done to it ever since it was built. And lastly, projects. We can analyze electrification projects in terms of cost across the country and compare. And we can say, you know, here's a specific zip code where solar permits are booming. Ryan, myself, and Doug, we're approaching this building permit data ecosystem from all different angles. And as we are uncovering data challenges, again, they're specific to those four different angles. Ryan actually focuses on the contractor standardization. And I was like, thank goodness, please take that part because it's such a huge data set. And I'm so happy that him and Doug are addressing that problem while we focus on the basics, pretty much. We mentioned ChatGPT, and I can give so many examples of why it just gets confused and doesn't understand different terms. For example, SD can stand for single dwelling or secondary dwelling. And they are very different, right? And depending on which jurisdiction we're looking at the data from, it means one thing or another. There are other abbreviations that we found. For example, WTF. What do you think it stands for? It stands for Wireless Transmission Facility. Who would know, right?
I'm going to start telling my kid that's what that means every time I say that.
You should. So essentially, we had to build our own language model to process this data and understand it.
So Ryan, they've hit on a couple of things and you're feeding the data to Cat, but you're after a particular different piece. What are some of the guiding principles for you?
Yeah, we actually, we take Cat's data. She'll feed us nationwide building permits in this compressed JSON format. And we've spent the last many months pipelining that and in order to do just what I describe it as the last little bits of fits and finish and polish. You could almost think of this as like this, the Pareto principle in action, where if Cat and team, you know, Cat gets us 80 to 90% of the way, getting that last 10 to 20% of polish takes like 80 to 90% of the effort. Because we've been, it's hard to get all the data types correct and get this data, like finesse it, massage it to a point where we can actually load it into a kind of a database where if one one field, like one value in 100 million records is not typed correctly, like it was expecting an integer and we got a string, then the whole thing blows up and we basically have to start all over. It's a lot of work dealing with addresses, and then as Kat mentioned, also dealing with the contractor information, which is also prone to have typos, is incomplete at best. We'll often have like a bunch of different addresses. We'll see typos in the license numbers. So going to all the states, trying to find a source of truth, and then collect the contractor data from each permit, try to match it to a record in that state contractor set, while also being aware that contractors can work across states. So it's like we can't just confine the deduplication methodology to a single state. We got to look across states and you know, be able to map those, because people might want that sort of nationwide roll-up. It's a weird data problem. And then, you know, finally connecting those contractors back to the permits themselves. And doing these roll-up metrics, like how many permits did you do in the last 60 days? What type of permits were they? What kind of inspection data can we tease out of those permits? So we look at things like an inspection pass rate on a contractor, and also the duration, like Kat mentioned, permit issued or filed to permit issued. We can also look at permit issued to permit finaled, and then understand, does one contractor for the same type of project or the same installing the same type of unit, HVAC unit or whatever, are they taking significantly longer than someone else doing that installation on the same kind of house in the same zip code? There's like a lot of different ways we can slice and dice and look at this, and it's a pretty fun data problem. So that's why like we're not even touching the interface, and when Doug and I connected, I was also like, okay, cool. Because we have our hands full dealing with all of this. And if you want to build the Zoom info kind of layer on top of it, by all means, like someone needs to do it.
Okay. So now I'm starting to get this. See, I told you guys, this was Doug's idea. So I just get to learn and be on the side here. So Kat, you're going out to all the sources and grabbing it and cleaning it, passing it to Ryan. Ryan, you're doing that last 10 to 20% to connect some dots, which, by the way, to anybody listening, I just had this thought, is that like a lot of the reputation in the world is, let's be honest, I love a good story, and you know, every cliff I jump off of gets 5 feet taller every time I tell that story. And I think every contractor, the permit time goes down and the completion time goes down each time we tell the story. So, you know, this is starting to build, by the way, the data is starting to build reality. And these are all things that you cannot control, contractors, by any other way than how you perform.
Right.
And so this is kind of cool because it's performance metrics. And then now Ryan's done with it, or at least Ryan's doing his thing with it. And Doug, now you're doing something else with it. And this kind of is interesting. So Kat gets the source. Ryan is taking that source to another 20, but then Doug, you're taking that and more data, aren't you?
Not currently from Kat and Ryan, right? We've got our own sources, but similar data.
Maybe eventually, we'll see.
Maybe eventually, that's the fingers crossed.
Connect the dots all together.
we're working on it together, yeah. But it's the right idea. It's that it's similar data. Can't say the same. It's similar data, permits, licensed contractors, and then adding in more of the holistic company profile. Where do I find you online? Your LinkedIn, your Facebook, all of the people that I can find to get a hold of, their emails or phone numbers. And so, yeah, it layers it all in together with an online portal.
That's awesome. And and eventually, or anyone, you know, can do these kinds of things, but it's starting to, drive some customer behavior, drive some industry behavior through, you know, taking what's pretty much an enigma, right? I can't even imagine before the world of APIs, the world of the ability for us to even think about this, right? This is a newly, it's not a new problem, but it's certainly a new way that we can solve it. So I'm interested in sort of what maybe, Doug, your thoughts are, how does this empowerment and what can contractors, you know, be thinking about as you guys are putting this stuff together and just starting to learn from it?
My number one thing here is about visibility, right? The more I can find you from permits, licensed, online behavior that I can validate that is credible, right? If you're a contractor and you're looking for work, become visible. Get on LinkedIn, get on Facebook, create a website. Don't do a free Google site. Go on, you know, get a GoDaddy domain. Set up shop so that we can find you, because that's more likely you're going to be in our database, right? That's more likely that Kat's going to find you, Ryan's going to find you. Become consistent with processes. Like, you want to make Kat's job easier to make sure that we can match all your activity together, and don't say that you only do 5, you know, buildings a year when you're doing 10. Be consistent with your process and working with, you know, the permit boards. So there's certain things that you can do that impact your data to be discovered that then allow us to find the product manufacturers and the people that want to find you and looking out for you. I mean, I know there's even home builders that are doing insuring for home builders, right? Home warranties. And they want to find the home builders and say, hey, look, we're going to cut them deals. We're going to find ways to give them super discounts, mass cuts. We want to have market share. And so you're going to get a deal of a lifetime, but they have to be able to find you, right? And so that's kind of the discovery problem that comes through this, between the dirty data, how we find you, all the different sources, and bringing it together. So if you're a contractor looking for work, find a way to get more discovery within the data you're putting out there.
At the Contech Crew, we focus on technology that solves industry problems, and we've always believed in our sponsors, so much so that I went to work for one of them. So today, I want to talk to you about Join. Every construction project is a unique prototype, and it's actually shaped by thousands of decisions that impact the owner's business case, design, and the budget. Today, the communication driving these decisions is disjointed across all the stakeholders. Work happens in email, Excel, estimating, resulting in delays, waiting for decisions, waiting for access to information, and sometimes that information is outdated and incomplete. Managing the expectations of the team and keeping the project moving forward is a constant challenge, and a lot of times drives skepticism amongst the contributors. Join empowers general contractors to build with confidence and maximize the potential of every project by connecting these owners through new workflows that fit into your existing processes. We bring design teams and trade partners into a single platform. There's transparency and collaboration in the decision making, which builds trust and sets projects up for success. You might be asking yourself, do you need another tool? Well, let me tell you, Join fits in seamlessly with your processes and your other tools. In fact, we're here to help those other tools. Regardless of your estimating system or your project management process, Join will be a valuable added resource without disrupting those other systems and your teams. Check out Join, the collaborative project delivery platform for the built environment. Learn more at join.build.
I love that. I wouldn't even have thought it. Ryan, you know, from your problem statement with, you know, sort of what you experienced with the heat pump and now what you've built, what's your thoughts for contractors and for, you know, sort of the folks that listen into the show that they can be thinking about? What insights or knowledge can you kind of pass on and just say, hey, this is what we're seeing?
Two kind of interesting things, and I'll just relate them to... Well, first one to very climate specific. So Inflation Reduction Act passed last year and has not really gone into motion yet. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars. I forget what total amount was, like 400, but a good chunk of that is going towards incentives for homeowners to electrify their homes. And it is going to be administered at the state level. So federal money is going to pass through the states, and then the states are going to have to figure out how to actually get these funds distributed to the homeowners in order to either partially or completely offset the purchase of, say, a heat pump water heater, but also the installation of that heat pump water heater. There's going to be just a crush of demand for both the hardware and then also the parts and labor for the installation. One of the things that we're really interested in doing is getting ahead of that and finding the contractor directories that utilities and other, like call it like regional energy efficiency programs are going to be gathering. They're going to be recruiting contractors to get approved. The contractors are going to be responsible for submitting these rebates. And for us to be able to see that they're affiliated with some program, we have climate tech companies that are asking for that data. So we want to get a jump on that and start tagging them in our system so that we can feed it to the likes of Doug and others. So that's number one, just a really interesting thing, just with election cycles. Biden administration is going to try and pump as much of this through in 2024 as they can, like as much as possible before January 2025, just in case, because who knows what's going to happen. But that's why I like this as an entrepreneur, because there's urgency on behalf of my customers. Everybody's kind of eyeing this like 2024 as this huge year for building electrification. So I guess my message would be, if you've been thinking about getting that electrician license or thinking about transitioning from traditional HVAC installs to heat pump HVAC installs and just trying to wrap your head around how to actually start learning this new technology, which I understand a lot of contractors have been sort of hesitant. You know, they always kind of install the same type of HVAC and they get a new client and they're just like pushing that same blast furnace kind of and condenser unit. Heat pumps, I can tell you, like, it's just the sooner you kind of jump on that bandwagon, really the better, and at least for 2024, but probably beyond as well. So that's just one thought. Another one, I've been talking to Doug about this too, is when you're on like a Yelp, Nextdoor, or Thumbtack, one of those kinds of services, and you're doing a search. If you're a consumer and you're looking for electrician help, say, they're going to identify electricians whose business address meets some kind of search criteria that you put in. Yelp is going to treat a electrician, kind of like a stationary object, same way as or like a restaurant. And we all know that the building trades people are not stationary. They're anything but, like, they move and they'll drive dozens, you know, many miles to sort of a job area. Because we're starting with CATS permits, we can actually see service area and we can search by service area rather than searching by business address. And they are just vastly different. We can actually see that in the data. There's not a lot of overlap actually between the physical address zip code and the permit zip codes that contractors work in. So just kind of like something like really interesting there. There's a ton of clustering that happens. I guess the message there is by using our systems, like maybe they can get discovered better.
Yeah. Using your system, they can get discovered better. You're also providing for the consumer an ability to understand, because I never thought about that. Like, there's a lot of vanity addresses that happen. I'm not going to name names, but I happen to live in Vail, Colorado. Well, I actually don't. I live in a smaller town outside of it. But if I'm a business here and I want to say I'm in Vail, Colorado, I'm going to go get a PO box over there. But actually, technically, I'm over here. And really, do I do work here? Do I do work all over the place? Okay, now I can have my vanity address, but also based on all this other data, I might show up for research. The one I want to go back to is, it's really interesting. I had the experience on a super small level. I had a furnace and a water heater go out at the same time at a previous house. Same exact thing. They came to me and the guy's like, well, I could throw what we normally give you down your throat, but we got these rebate things going on. And here's how it works. Like, if we sell you this and sell you this, we'll help you do the paperwork. We have to help you do the paperwork. We'll install it. And then you do all this and you'll get these rebates. Not only then, and this is interesting with the cost of money now, is that they also secured a loan for us. So subsidized it and got a rebate and got us I want to say it was no interest if I paid it off in like 2 years or something. You know, it's like, oh, if you want 4 years, then you're going to pay a small interest fee. But whatever it was like free money. But that was only because that contractor was a bigger contractor local that I had known, and they were kind of hooked up. So this is going to make that more available to more people.
Exactly.
Yep. And it's going to drive that climate change, because it is, not only are a lot of them hesitant, they're also like the process of getting that money back and getting that rebate. I know that group was really pretty well put together in how they did it. But if that can be automated through services like yours and connected, that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, there are climate tech companies working on that. So more APIs, actually, but like really smart technical people that are solving that, building technology that the utilities can embed into their website so that you could even check and punch in your address or whatever. It's going to collect a bunch of information and then tell you what you're eligible for.
That would be awesome, man. I'm just thinking about it. By the way, you got me like all worried about my water heater and everything now. You know, I live in an older place. It's not that much older, but things are probably old. So I'm going to be looking forward to a service like that. So Kat, we've given you some time to think about these things. As these guys have talked, like, where did that take you? I don't usually do the open-ended thing, but I'm going to do the open-ended thing. Where did that take you listening to all that?
Yeah, I'm actually going to piggyback off of what Ryan and Doug said. I love that Doug said about visibility and transparency. Better data, clean data, gives you a lot more information on something like how much things should cost, right? And it benefits not only the contractors to come up with quotes and know competitive intelligence, but it also benefits consumers. For example, in my case, when I was getting quotes for a foundation to pour a concrete basement foundation for my ADU, they were between $18,000 and $250,000 range. And I did not have any data points to compare that against. I ended up paying under $50,000 at the end. But in the Bay Area, you can get away with higher prices because it's so busy and competitive, and things get booked out, you know, years ahead. So just getting better data, better quality data, gives benefit to both consumers and market participants who are working within that space. And then we get into housing affordability and generally housing prices, right? Again, I'll use my own example. My valuation right now, if you were to punch my address and go to one of the real estate websites, I'm not going to name them, but my valuation for the property is completely incorrect because they haven't accounted for the new unit that was added to the property. Satellite images are sometimes years old, and they don't catch some of these changes. And of course, they don't catch changes to the properties that happen within the structure. So using permit data and more permit data can benefit many different angles. I also will add that from regulatory standpoint, the GSEs like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and giving guidance on new appraisal regulations also get benefit from cleaner, more structured, better data.
All right. So you wrap that up in a nice little bow on how taking all of this data from random sources and, you know, working together, the data minds behind it, you know, can actually create a better experience on a number of events, whether it's, you know, with Ryan and, you know, connecting the climate companies and the contractors that are looking at the new stuff to say rebates or other, or, hey, just looking at electrification in certain areas. We know that's a huge deal. You know, you, Kat, grabbing all of this and cleaning it up so that we can start to glean stuff from it. And then Doug, what you're doing, Kat, with you, you know, could it be affordable housing? Could it be understanding what your valuation truly is? Like, can you also be not so left alone? I'll be honest, but data, you know, it arms us all for a level playing field if we can access it. So that's a huge piece. And then, you know, the interesting thing, Doug, is I, especially being in this for as long as I have, it's about finding the right customers for technology in the industry. So many people spend so much time, well, first of all, probably avoiding calls, but you know, I hear this over and over. Oh, if I get one more call from a salesperson, it's like, cause there's really, they don't know who you are. And they do probably have a product that's worth something to somebody and they're trying to find the needle in the haystack. So if we can use the data to find the right needle in the middle of the haystack and have quality conversations, then actually I might get the technology I need and I can move on and make a better selection. Everybody's experience might be better. So I hope I wrapped how this data is flowing together, because you three were a lot of fun today.
Thank you. Yeah, you did. I'll say something on that, right? It's we grow our business with salespeople that make dials and emails and LinkedIn messages. And I'll tell you, the people that we speak to, right, I didn't get a hold of 50 companies that I had to hold them hostage to have conversations before we launched this year, right? There were willing people that said, yeah, that's a pain point. If you build it, we're going to come. And so that's how this starts. And so there's always a need to have it. And I get from the other side, I get phone calls too. I try to answer them. Sometimes I don't, and I'll be respectful because I could be the guy making that phone call next time. But it's kind of how that works, right? Is try to find the people, try to find the needle in the haystack and have something that means something to their business problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were joking about it beforehand, but like, cause I had everybody send me their LinkedIn and I connected with them and I made the joke like, oh, and now I'll sell you something like more clicks on Google or something. But in the reality, it's like, well, those people have a service that some of us probably need. And how cool would it be if every time that LinkedIn message popped up, it truly was like quality done right. That's like, this is a service we have. Do you need it? Oh yeah, I do actually. Like that would be awesome that I could answer the phone more often. And that's what actually cleaning the data and digging through it can provide.
Absolutely. And
it can be a better world. So Doug, where can people go find more about BuilderBinder?
Yeah, come to our website, builderbinder.com. Find me on LinkedIn, Doug Hetty. Happy to connect at any time.
Awesome, Doug. Well, thank you. Kat, where can they go find a little bit more about Bilty?
Our website is biltydata.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Kat Gordienko, double I in my last name. I'm happy to connect.
Awesome. And last but certainly not least, Ryan, where can they go learn a little bit more about Shovels?
We are on the internet at www.shovels.ai. And yeah, find me on LinkedIn, Ryan Buckley, /in/R Buckley.
Awesome. Well, Doug, I have to commend you, man. This was a heck of an experience. I hope the listeners enjoyed it because I certainly did and learned a lot about data that I was pretty much blind to before we started talking.
Thank you. We appreciate it, Jeff.
Thanks, Doug, for inviting us.
Yep.
Thank you, Doug and Jeff.
And thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Ryan, Kat, and Doug. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to the show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.